I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. I am thrilled to welcome all of you here this morning and to see the sheep who have gathered on this bright sunny morning. And while it is so tempting to be out frolicking in the fields, you have come in to be together as the worshiping body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Today is the seventh Sunday of Easter, which means we are at the close of this ecclesiastical season, and next Sunday will be, after the 50 days of Easter, will be Pentecost. Pentecost is next Sunday. So throughout this season, we have been remembering about the expansion of Jesus' word, going out not only into the city of Jerusalem, but even to the different continents and different places. So take a minute now to look around you and see all of our Easter symbols, the banners in the back, and this one that represents the culmination of chaos and how we have ideally transformed all the problems of the world and lifted ourselves up into perfect joy and harmony with the world and with ecology and with the big cities and the farms and the watersides and every place that we inhabit. There is wholeness and goodness, full reconciliation. And so, when that happens, it is time for the birth of the church. Next Sunday, wear bright colors. Red, yellow, orange are all acceptable. And know that it will be a Sunday of communion, and we will celebrate the Lord's Supper here in this sanctuary and feel and realize the birth of the church in the beginning and now that it is continuing. So, what other announcements do we have to share with the congregation?
I just wanted to thank everyone who came to our first summer Sunday school. The lessons all revolve around questions. So the questions that were asked to Jesus, or the questions that Jesus asked, Pastor Lynn's going to preach on each one of those questions, and we're going to discuss it further in Sunday school. So we'd love to have you join us. All adult classes that aren't meeting over in the education building will be in the fellowship hall each week, and the children and youth class will be upstairs in the education building. So we'd love to have you come out and join our summer Sunday school series. Also, right after church today, we do have our first Sunday luncheon. We're talking about education, and we're talking about kind of a celebration of the end of the school year. So we'd love to have you come over and join us for lunch and a quick discussion about school in general and teachers. I have some pictures. If anyone else brought their yearbook, we can take them. We'll put them up. But I have my yearbook pictures, at least, if you want to come laugh at those. Enough people already have, so join in their laughter. We'll see you over there.
Are there any other announcements that we want to share? Please, yes.
My family is going to memorialize my Aunt Willie Mezick in the fellowship hall on Saturday at noon, if you'd like to come.
Nan shared that Willie Mezick's memorial remembrance will be at noon on Saturday in Fellowship Hall, if anybody would like to come and support the family. I believe we are ready to continue worship and to celebrate all that are here today, and I am thrilled to see you. So let us remember and read responsively the 97th Psalm. Who is leading us for that? Psalm 97, found on page 592. Let us read responsively. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth.
The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people
We come as a body to confess our sins, to name our humanity, and to declare before the throne of God that we have sinned. Let us pray this prayer together. Holy One, thank you for the gift of life in all its wonder and variety. We know we haven't always been the people you created us to be. For our shallowness in loving, forgive us. For our silences when we should have spoken up, forgive us. For talking when we should have listened, forgive us. For our difficulty in forgiving, when we know we could easily make the same mistake, forgive us. For holding on to grudges, forgive us and free us. Your breath, like a mighty wind, comes over us, O God. Your breath breathes through and declares in us that we are forgiven because we are your children. We are washed not only in the breath, but also the waters. We are washed in the table. We are washed in the family. We are washed at this fountain that is ever giving life and purity and goodness. So in that assurance and in that knowledge of who we belong to, let us declare together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Without end is the extent to which God's forgiveness reigns. World without end is represented here at the Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church this morning. We are the root of God's love and want to shower it to everyone that we know, and especially to share the peace of Christ with those in the pews next to us. Let us share that as we know we are connected to this church and those around the presbytery in the light that is flickering and is stronger than we see. But we will say that sense of peace to one another as we say, the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Even though it's a certain extent. Today, our scripture lesson is from Acts 16, 16 through 34, which can be found on page 1096 of your pew Bible. In today's scripture lesson, we find Paul and Silas on the second missionary journey, and they're spreading the gospel throughout Rome. And we've heard the saying, live so that others will see your faith, and when necessary, speak. Well, in today's scripture, we see Paul and Silas living out their faith. And because they do live out their faith, then a whole family comes to Christ. Let us look at the scripture. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them to his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Oh, our turn. Okay. Would the children and the younger youth please come forward? All right, good morning. All right, Aiden, what are we talking about today? What's the Bible lesson that we talked about in Sunday school?
A blind man and how it relates to someone that needs to find God.
Yeah, definitely. That's really good. But I don't want to talk about blind people up here, this blind man. I want to talk about horses. Yeah, we'll see. It'll all come around. I'm telling you, it'll all come back around. Maybe a little bit. All right, so let's see. Raise your hand if you've ridden a horse. Has anyone ridden a horse? Okay.
I've ridden one horse one time. A bunch of times.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so Luke, what's one thing you put on a horse before you ride?
I can help you.
Everyone will get a chance.
Seat mattress.
All right, the seat mattress. What is that called, Ethan?
A saddle,
right? The saddle is what you ride. Exactly right, Luke and Ethan. Good job. Aiden, what's another thing you put on a horse before you ride it? What do you put on its feet? What do you call those?
Hooves.
Okay, it has the hooves on there already. But
they also have something.
They're metal?
Uh-huh. On the mouth.
Oh, yeah, they put a little clamp in their mouth to bite down on? Mm-hmm. And Luke, so you can lead it?
We weren't allowed to lead it, but there was someone in front of us holding it.
Okay, good one. Ethan, what's...
Horseshoes.
Horseshoes, good job. All right, last one. Leah, if you're going to take your horse out on some, so if you're going to just take it at the farm or on the trail, it's probably not needs this. But if you're going to take the horse on a city street, what do you put on it? Do you know? A what? Okay, you put horseshoes on it. What's something we haven't named yet that you put on it? Huh? Okay, maybe you attach it to a carriage. But if you're going to ride the carriage down so the horse doesn't get scared, you put this thing on it. This might be too much.
Like a little seat.
Okay, you put a seat on. Blinders, exactly right. Leah, what do horse blinders do? Right, so the horse blinders come out a little bit over its eyes so the horse can just see straight. It can't see if there's a car so it can't get scared or a bike on the trail that rides beside it. It's called horse blinders.
Ears?
It probably can't see its ears anyway. Can you see your ears?
No, I mean it can hear them.
Oh, it can still hear,
and
yeah.
Now it's spooked.
Yeah, but it's mostly for its eyes. So, you guys aren't wearing blinders right now, are you? Yeah, you are? There you go. Sometimes in my life, I've kind of worn some blinders. Like if my mom says, hey, that corner of your room is really dirty, sometimes I had a blinder on so I could. I was like, whoa, what corner? You know, like, I didn't see that, right? Have you ever said that or no?
I have blinders.
Yeah. You can use that excuse now. But sometimes when we see things that are bad that are happening, sometimes, unfortunately, we have our blinders on. When we see someone that's being bullied, sometimes I have my blinders on and I said, no, I don't see that. And I don't want to go help because I kind of told myself, I don't really see that. Have you ever done that?
Nope.
No? That's good. If you've always stepped up to help when you should, that means you're not wearing your blinders and you're seeing everything.
I'm sleeping.
You might make an excuse.
I pretend I'm sleeping and she never falls for it.
Yeah. Oh, for your mom. Yeah. But it's important that we use these gifts that God's given us and we use all of our senses to help everyone anytime we can. We don't have our blinders on and we say, oh, I don't see that. I don't see that problem. I'm not going to take care of that. But we take our blinders off and we make sure that we're looking for ways to help people all the time, right? Yeah, Luke?
I was getting made fun of yesterday.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, we know how it feels to get picked on, right? There you go. We know how it feels to get picked on, so we need to help others that are getting picked on, right? We know how bad it feels to get picked on, so we need to help others, okay?
Not join.
Exactly right. Good job, Aiden. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, help us to take off our blinders
to spread your love.
In your name we pray. Amen. All right, we do have children's church. We're going to talk a little bit more about our story if you'd like to join us. Otherwise, you can go back and sit down, or you can go back to the nursery.
I thought we already talked about it.
We're going to talk more about it.
I know, but, did you notice something about my
We did initiate our summer Sunday school program this morning, and because we were all conversing around this text, it sort of led me to look at what the message might have said about this story today. And so I've pulled the interpretation from the message in to read today, and the whole story is really wonderful. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to read more than what is in the bulletin. So maybe follow along in your Bible if you want, but it'll sound a little bit differently from Eugene Peterson's interpretation. John 9 and selected verses. Walking down the street, Jesus saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, causing him to be born blind?" Jesus said, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause-effect here. Look instead for what God can do. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here, working while the sun shines. When night falls, the workday is over. For as long as I am in the world, there is plenty of light. I am the world's light. Jesus said this and then spit in the dust, made a clay paste with the saliva, rubbed the paste on the blind man's eyes, and said, "Go wash at the pool of Siloam." The man went and washed and saw. Soon the town was buzzing. His relatives and those who saw him year after year as a blind man begging were saying, "Why, isn't this the man we knew who sat here and begged?" Others said, "It is him, all right." But others objected, "It's not the same man. It just looks like him." And the man said, "It is me." They said, "How did your eyes get opened?" "A man named Jesus made a paste and rubbed it on my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' I did what he said. When I washed, I saw." "So where is he now?" they asked. "I don't know." And now it goes through a section where the scribes and the Pharisees ask the parents, and the parents say, "Well, this is a grown man, so you can ask him." And nobody's trying to take responsibility for helping this man see. So they called him back a second time, the man who had been born blind, and said, "Give credit to God. We know this man is an impostor." He replied, "I know nothing about that one way or the other. But one thing I do know for sure, I was blind, and now I see." They ask, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" "I've told you over and over and over again, and you haven't listened. Why do you want to hear it again? Are you eager to become his disciples?" With that, they jumped all over him. "You might be a disciple of that man, but we are disciples of Moses. We know for sure that God spoke to Moses, but we have no idea where this man comes from." The man who was blind replied, "This is amazing. You claim to know nothing about him, but the fact is, he opened my eyes. It's well known that God isn't at the beck and call of sinners, but listens carefully to anyone who gives reverence to God and does God's will. That someone opened the eyes of a man born blind has never been heard of. This has never been heard of ever. If this man did not come from God, he wouldn't be able to do this. They said, "You're nothing but dirt. How dare you take that tone with us?" Then they threw him out into the street. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and he went and found him, and he asked the man, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" The man said, "Point him out to me, sir, so that I might believe in him." Jesus said, "You're looking at him right now. Don't you recognize my voice?" "Master, I believe," the man said, and worshiped Jesus. Jesus then said, "I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear, so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind." Some Pharisees overheard him and said, "Does that mean we're blind?" Jesus said, "If you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, you are accountable for every fault and failure." A word from the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, O Lord, may the words and meditations of all of our mouths and hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So we're doing a series on the questions. the questions, and the question that we had asked today was, who sinned? And I wish it were a little more ambiguous, because Jesus actually comes back and says, you're asking the wrong question. It's not a matter of who sinned, because we all sin and have fallen short of the glory of God. There are none of us who are pure, none of us who can claim righteousness that is finished. We are all still learning. So it's not quite so much about who sinned as it is, what do we do about our sin? What do we do about our confidence that we have it all figured out? What do we do about the mistakes we make when we know we could ask for forgiveness and be forgiven, but don't really want to acknowledge what has happened? What do we do with our sin is a larger question that we still experience today. I know that part of what Graham did with the children's time and what we talked about in Christian Ed was a little bit of, sometimes there are strengths in blindness too. Sometimes there are things we can learn when we can't see that we help to raise us into a better knowledge and a better experience. I remember one of the first persons I had a very close relationship with that was blind and needed a lot of assistance and help. Her name was Polly Brown. And Polly Brown was the daughter of mission workers in Brazil, in São Paulo. Polly Brown's father founded a seminary in São Paulo, and she had a real love for visiting as she had grown up in that place and time, and invited some of us to go and to experience mission there. It's a 6-hour bus drive south of São Paulo near Franca, Brazil. So there was one winter, and winter is the best time to go to Brazil because it's summer there, but it was January in Ohio, and Polly had gone to Miami to spend Christmas with her cousin. And we were going to fly, there were three of us from Akron area that were going to meet up with Polly in Miami and then go to São Paulo and on out to Franca with Polly, because she knew how to navigate that whole culture because she had grown up there. Even though she was blind, she knew how to move through the airports and to get to the right place. So we were counting on Polly. But January, Ohio, Cleveland, snow. We got to the airport, and the airplane that we were going to take wasn't going anywhere. And we were a bit frantic because we had to meet Polly because we were on our way to Brazil. And we argued and pleaded and asked, and they took us not to the airline that we were going to travel, but a different one, had a different runway. And they said, well, we can send you on down, but you're going to go a lot earlier. And then even when you get there, we're going to have to put you on a different flight, and it will take you straight to São Paulo, and you won't land in Venezuela like you're scheduled to do on the flight now. So we had a choice. We had to either take that flight that was going to get us earlier because it was bypassing Venezuela, or we weren't going to go. So you know what we did. We got on that plane and missed Polly in Miami because she wasn't there yet. This is a time before cell phones, but we called back to the church and said, please call Polly's cousin. Tell her we're not going to be in Miami because our plane leaves before she'll be able to get there, and we're going to go right on to São Paulo and wait for her there. So that's what we did, but we were three very anxious travelers landing in São Paulo, the fifth largest city in the world. And we did not speak Portuguese. We had no idea how to navigate the airport and were clueless about what to do for those 3 hours that were the longest 3 hours you might imagine. We didn't have our blind guide. We didn't have the woman who was going to help us through and to get to Franca and onto the mission site. So you can imagine when the lights showed that plane that was coming from Miami by way of Venezuela into Brazil was coming, we were so eager to see Polly get off that airplane. And she did. And we were rejoicing along with all the other people that were rejoicing with their families and people that knew each other. But during that time, during that anxiety, it was very interesting to me that we had to resource for ourselves the kinds of things that we might do to make it through that airport all right, and trusting and believing that Polly was going to arrive and be able to take us on down to São Paulo, to Franca and the village. So blindness doesn't have to leave us crippled. Blindness is one of those times that we can be more open to things we need to learn about ourselves. Blindness can open avenues and create new learnings in times of stress. A number of younger people now are struggling with what the church means for them. Lillian Daniels was a woman that you may have heard her book, and it's called When Being Spiritual But Not Religious Is Not Enough, Ways to Find the Spirit Even in Church. When being spiritual but not religious is not enough. Reminded me of that old joke you might have heard, God wants spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. We need to be careful about the times we get to be religious nuts. Sometimes we do feel like we have all the answers and we're ready to go off into the wild blue yonder with what we have experienced in the past. Sometimes we miss the Spirit because we haven't connected the two. Spirit and religion go together. Thank you, says Lorenzo. He would like that. I know that sometimes we struggle in realizing how we offer our faith in ways that is inviting. How do we say to one another that we have something here we want to share with you? We have the good news, and we want you to be a part of it as well. Another one of those strict rules came about with a Bible school teacher who was a science teacher, and she was teaching the first and second grade class. And the first grader, they were doing the study of the parable about Jonah being swallowed by the great fish. And the science teacher was saying, this is kind of a metaphor. We don't really believe that Jesus was actually in the belly of a fish for 3 days. That was probably a little stretch of a story to get the point across. This little boy, though, was so very sure that that was a true story. And he kept arguing with his teacher. And she said, well, it can teach us a lesson, but you don't have to believe that Jonah was in the belly of a great fish for 3 days. And the little boy was just adamant. He was sure of it. And he finally said to the teacher, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah what happened. Okay? The teacher said, well, what if Jonah went to hell? And the boy said, well, then you can ask him. Sadly, I think that's a really unfortunate story that this boy was so close to being able to expand his idea of who God is and said to the woman, you're going to hell. It would be sad if it were only, it wouldn't be so sad if it were only children. Joan Chittister remembers the story. She's a sister, a nun, and her teacher in the Catholic school told her that her father was Protestant, and because of that, he probably wasn't going to heaven. And Joan Chittister said, you don't know my dad. We need to realize that there is depth to people beyond religious rule, and sometimes there's even greater depth in spiritual stories that we can encounter with one another as well. We know when our ultimate trust lies in the hands of God Almighty. We know that there is not anything else that we can do to make life different, but we can trust our Lord God. And we can know Jesus walks with us through that darkness, through blindness, through whatever experience we're having, and accompanies us. And that's the message this church has to share. You have been through struggle. You have been through trials. And all of these stories are the ones that make us stronger, make us more alive in what God is doing. Because if it's all up to us, we're asking the wrong question. That would be sin. But if it can all be up to God, with our participation, trusting who leads us, then we have our feet on the right path. We have our hearts open to see what God is doing, and we can be courageous in that discovery. Amen. At this time, we celebrate and we pray with and we support one another in this time. There are a couple of things I want to share before we begin the community's prayers. One is, as Graham has shared, and as we all know by the calendar, this is the first day of our summer program. And we have had a very rich and meaningful year in Christian education. So I know there are some of you here and others who aren't, but a lot of teachers who have been the rabbis for this congregation this program year. And if you have taught a Christian education class or a Sunday school class or a Bible school class last summer through this past 12 months, please stand up if you have been a teacher at any point of this year with this congregation. Everybody standing that has taught? Thank you, teachers. You may be seated. And we are grateful for your extra devotion in helping bring Scripture alive for all ages. Another thing, we're not going to have them stand, but and I know that last week, dear Richard White and Debbie White shared that they are leaving the community, but they are in the bounds of the state and will visit us occasionally, maybe, and if I hope for it strong enough, and if we all hope for it, it'll happen. But Debbie and Richard are experiencing their last formal Sunday with us this morning, and we will want to greet them. And so I'd ask you guys if you'll stand next to me after the benediction, and people can say farewell till we see again. I always say that when I'm parting with anyone. I'll see you again. sometime. But we will say goodbye to Richard and Debbie today. So thank you for all your leadership with this congregation and the devotion and commitment you have had with us. There are a number of us that are aware of some prayer concerns. We want to hold Phyllis Monteith in prayer as she visits a surgeon this week. They have found a cancerous small tumor, and she will be finding out more about what will be happening in the next days ahead. So we will pray adamantly and clearly for Phyllis Monteith this morning. We also are aware that Stacy McClure has been hospitalized again and is not there now, and we are praying for her safety and health wherever she might be. Are there other concerns or joys or celebrations? I see hands. Okay, Jeannie, I saw yours coming. Jeannie's niece, Montana, has been in ICU because of an allergic reaction to something. Okay. Heather, I saw your hand.
The week before Memorial Day weekend, Samantha, the little girl who sings in the choir with Leah, she had emergency surgery and had her appendix removed, but she is home and doing well. And when I went to visit her before we left for the beach, she had also broken a bone in her hand. I said, well, I hadn't seen you in over a week, and this is what happened. So. But I said, please don't make it a third thing, because we got trips and things to do together this summer. So, and then the second is my father's surgery was not successful. They tried for over 2.5 hours to get in to resolve his issues and were not able to get in. But the doctor who performed the procedure said he's confident that he was going to try again, so that's on June the 10th. I'll be going back to Raleigh and spend some time with them again, and hopefully this time have some different results, and he'll have all his things done. So.
Two things there, Samantha, that you might remember saying on Easter morning with Riley and Leah. Had an emergency surgery appendectomy and has also broken her hand. Two things. And Heather's father was in for some surgery, and it was they were not able to complete the procedure the way they had wanted, so they're going to try that again. And we will hope for that to be successful on June the 10th and pray for that as well. Did I say, Gay, please. Larry Rupp, whose body and heart are involved in the Caggiato Mission Children's Home, will be having surgery at the Cleveland Clinic this week for his cancer.
Liam, this is not a prayer request.
Yes, but... I'll not forget it, that's for sure. And I will do it again if it happens. Jeannie is right. A number of people worked on the camp-in. That was last night, started at 5 o'clock, and finished this morning with breakfast. Thank you to those of you who had leadership with the camp-in and the fellowship time. It was very well organized. Thank you. Hang on just a second. I saw James.
13 families in Virginia Beach.
Yeah. Thank you, James. 13 families in Virginia Beach that are grieving and floods that are moving across the country. FD, welcome home.
Dan was in a serious wreck this week. Oh. And he's spared from no injuries at all. So
this Dan.
This Dan.
Really? Yeah, that's great.
The vehicle's a total loss, but I just have a spot here and a spot on my arm and my wrist.
Well,
airbags are a wonderful invention.
welcome this morning, and be careful every day. Richard?
Our son-in-law worked for 4 years. He had recognized positive performance. Not going real well.
Richard's son-in-law, Glenn, has... You said Lynn. I thought so. Lynn has Rocky Mountain spotted fever. That's rough. I believe, let us be aware of God's presence. We know, God, you are already present in all these places where we have named our family members, our friends, and our neighbors, whether they are here or across this country. When grief strikes suddenly, when illness is unknown, when illness is able to be operated on and discoveries or healing can be happening throughout all of these stages of life, even unto death, you are with us. But please, oh God, be with those who are experiencing grief at such senseless and sad and very, very difficult times of violence and confusion and just loss of life for no apparent reason. Our hearts are heavy when it continues to happen for any place, and we know that every place is your home, O God, and each family are children of yours. But we also are very thankful that you continue to work through hospitalizations and through surgeries and through the abilities that we have to join with you in our healing and in our recoveries. Thank you that Dan Griggs is here and healthy and recovering from a very scary accident. Thank you that we have people that are coming and going from family vacations and coming and going from mission trips and all kinds of events and helping us to be reunited and also issuing forth. We ask your blessings with Richard and Debbie as they go across the state and live more imminently with their family, which we are happy about, and we will welcome them with open arms whenever they can be here to visit. And we will pray for them as they settle into a new house and anticipate that occurring. And we pray, oh God, for the life of this church as summer unfolds, for all the activities that are on the horizon, for a joyful one that just ended with this morning's horizon, for all the work and the deliberation around planning a fellowship that was enjoyable and festive and nutritious for all of us. And we hold those people still that are awaiting results from test, and we think especially of Phyllis, and we think of the families that are looking for that infection with Jeannie's granddaughter and all of the other names that we have mentioned. Guide us in this time of summer. Help us to be safe in its activities. Help us to love one another and to proclaim your good news to all the world. As we make this prayer in the name of your Son, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have a minute to hear now from Joe Cicchetti, a word from the PNC and an update on the church's life there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to give an update on where the PNC is at. We're diligently working hard to find the next pastor. It's going very well. We've interviewed 4 candidates thus far. It's been a learning process with each pastor we come in contact with. This committee is very dedicated. With that being said, as a committee, we're very aware that everyone is anxious to bring a new face into our church. We're also very aware of the challenges our church faces right now. With that being said, we are maintaining our integrity and not rushing to a decision because we want to make sure we have the right person. And I'm really excited about it. This group is awesome, and it's really something to see. Everyone's very focused on doing what's right for Cooks. And with that being said, because I have a microphone in front of me, I want to add a couple other things. I've done an awful lot of due diligence on healthy churches in the United States, my own research, and that sort of thing. And there's a couple things I know for sure that I really want to share with y'all, and I hope you can take home with you today and think about it a little bit. One, a new pastor is not going to fix our challenges that we have here at Cooks, okay? A new pastor is not going to fix the challenges we have here at Cooks. It's going to be the teamwork between our new pastor and our congregation that fixes the challenges we have here at Cooks. So I think it's important that we all pray on what we can do to help our church. Okay, and that's something we all need to think about critically. And it's not as simple as writing a check. It's involvement. It's fellowship. It's asking the random person at the grocery store to come join us in worship. The other thing I know for sure is although we have challenges, we're not broken. We are not broken. This is a fantastic place. This is a special place. And together, it's going to be amazing. And I think we're going to be sitting in this spot a short time from now and be thanking God for the challenges that he put in front of us because we're only going to be stronger for it. All right. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
God of love, we give you thanks for all of the cultures, races, ethnicities, and language of your people. Give us the wisdom and the courage to be faithful to the call of loving all your people as you have loved us, and to be transformed into a church that truly reflects who you are and who you love. Amen.
As we sing, holy, 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 I want to see you, to see you, to see you high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you.
And now the work of worship begins. Go out into this world in peace. Know that you are cleansed of your sins and free to share the love of Jesus Christ with all that you meet. And may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Go, my children, sins are given at peace and pure. Here you learned how much I love you, what I can do. Here you heard my son's story. Here you touched him, saw in glory. Go, my children, sins forgiven.